And welcome everyone to Inspiration for Your Life, the Sheila Show. So glad that you're joining us today. I have an excellent guest for you. You're going to really, really appreciate this hour. And I just wanted to remind you that I have a brand new teleseminar series called Celebrating You. It was you all along. Just go to SheilaShowCelebrate.com to sign up for these free, amazing phone calls and interviews. Hope you're having a terrific day, whatever you're doing. About to get better, because we have Aluna Joy in the house. Aluna Joy Yashkin was literally born awake in the company of her guides, the Star Elders. Today, she has evolved into an internationally known author, spiritual coach, sacred site guide, alternative historian, ordained minister, and modern-day mystic. In the Inca world, Aluna is considered a cowak, a clairvoyant or seer of living energy. Aluna acts as a spiritual archaeologist, using her clairvoyant, clairsentient gifts to excavate messages from the masters of ancient enlightened cultures to uncover what effect this has on humanity and the collective consciousness. Aluna coined the term sacred site junkie because she is one herself. After her first trip to Tulum, Mexico, her life changed dramatically, and she was sent on an entirely different life path. Since this time, her work has been influenced by so many shamanic experiences in sacred sites of Mexico, Guatemala, Peru, Honduras, Greece, England, Egypt, Australia, and more. She has been leading groups in the Maya world since 1986, and she is well known for her down-to-earth accepting attitude that makes each one feel like they've come home. I met Aluna recently up at Mount Shasta for the solar eclipse and just loved this woman and her energy and what she and the information she really has to share with you all about what is in the world is going on. What is 2012? What is the shift? Who are we and why are we here? Aluna Joy, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you. Thank you for inviting me.
I'm so happy to invite you and share you with everyone. Mm-hmm. So I loved it when you were sharing up at Mount Shasta. You were constantly in conversation with your star elders. You called them, I think it was it buddies?
The buddies, yes.
The buddies. How cute is that? So who are the star elders, and how did you get connected to them? And can we get connected to them?
First off, they're not my buddies, although I call them that. They're everybody's buddies. They're star walkers, star beings. They're galactic synchronizers. Their job is to help align planetary systems so they all link up, so all the doors open up. And they've come to Earth a few times, and those are usually what we refer to as sacred sites, in the Mayan Inca lands most prevalently. And this is why a lot of ancient religions have common threads between them, is because they were all anchored by different various groups of the Star Elders. My group are about a group of about 20. I remember it was one of my first memories when I was a child. Don't remember how it would feel not having them with me, because they've been with me my whole life. But I think we met a long, long, long time ago in the Pleiades, where a lot of us met.
So, you know what? That's so interesting. That's the first time I've ever really even understood this. So you're saying that so they actually are the ones that have come here, and that sort of makes sense with things like the pyramids or Stonehenge or in the Incas or the Mayans. Ah, okay. And so
it's they all connect, and it
yeah.
Well, this is the other thing about them when they interacted with Earth. It's what caused the missing link. What anthropologists always wonder about that big missing link between the evolution of one stage to another. It was Star Elder intervention. So what was your question?
Oh, okay. And so Star Elder intervention. So are they? It sounds like then they must be intervening right now, with the way that the whole planet's going. Okay, does that you understand what I'm getting at?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I think there's a lot of divine intervention going on. right now, not just with the Star Elders, but with Ascended Masters and other beings and guides, guardians and angels that we all work with. I think we're getting so much assistance right now because what is going on is so unique to this time and so intensely powerful and so important that I think there is a whole legion of beings helping. I know the Star Elders are paying very close attention to how planets line up. And this last Venus transit was another one of those marker days that they were paying very close attention to. Because we're supposed to be connected to the rest of the universe. And because we're a little out of sync, we always have that feeling inside of us that something's missing or we're reaching for something but we don't know what it is. That's the thing. It's the thing that inside of us we know should be there, but it isn't yet. And as universes line up, as it comes closer into alignment, that's when everybody has their aha moments. They'll wake up in the morning, something will hit them, and they'll go, oh my gosh, I just remembered something. But you knew you always knew it, but you just remembered it. Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah, it does feel that way. It's what I'm noticing with all the people that I interview and my listeners and what I'm on this, you know, I'm sure you were born awake with these amazing buddies at your side. I've still yet to, you know, consciously communicate with any of them or anything like that. So I'm on this ride with everybody else and I'm just as curious as everybody else. But I do know that it's getting very exciting. It's as tumultuous as it is and difficult and painful and struggle. It's kind of like, yeah, our remembering. So let's talk about what is it that we need to remember?
Well, if I could remember that, I would know. You know, we're all in this same boat together. And we may have come from different places, but we're all in the same boat now. And as we wake up, if we pay attention to the world, we'll get clues about what we are to remember. But one of the things the Star Elders are very adamant about sharing is they're going to have a great time watching this from their perspective because it's going to be a great surprise to us. A lot of things that we will remember or natural gifts that we'll regain will be quite a surprise. And I'm really looking forward to that surprise. Being aware of what's going on in your surroundings, paying attention to the world kind of loosely as a whole to see how things are evolving and shifting, anybody can see this. You just look back 20 years and what the consciousness was and what people believed in 20 years ago is a whole world away from what we believe now.
So, you know, when we were in Shasta, you were mentioning some of the physical and mental things that you have gone through, that we're going, that I went, oh, gosh, me too. Can you kind of describe some of the sort of symptoms so that everyone can kind of relate to that we're going through?
Yeah. I call them ascension symptoms. In fact, we have a Facebook page group for this called Ascension Symptom Support Group. If those are interested and they do Facebook, they can go there and post what you're feeling today because it's important.
And it's called...
It's called Ascension Symptom Support Group,
and
it's an open group online on Facebook where people can go and post what they're feeling because it's really important because we have varying symptoms, and they seem to come in waves, and we all seem to be getting them about the same time. A lot of them can range from short-term memory loss, and it has nothing to do with age, by the way. 20-year-olds are complaining about this. Nausea, headaches, dizziness, depression, anxiety, not sleeping or needing to sleep too much, being really tired, aches and pains, neck and shoulders particularly, because that's where we get a lot of our energy jammed up. We like to know things, but we rarely allow all the energy to go down to our heart, so it causes kind of a jam in our neck area. And these come and go. The last few days it's been pretty quiet, but I notice it's starting to pick up again. The solar flares tend to react. It's hard to tell if we react to the sun or the sun reacts to us or it's both. But I know when there's solar flares, people get agitated. You feel uncomfortable in your own skin. Your issues will come up. These are all things that we're all feeling. And if you're having symptoms and they don't go away, and it makes you nervous, you used to go into fear about it, it's always good to go to a doctor and get it checked out, because you'll probably find out there's nothing wrong, and you come home and you can let the worry go. But in the meantime, it's good to also know that everybody around you is feeling this. And I kind of broke the ice on this because I realized a lot of people on a spiritual path were afraid to admit they weren't doing well, and or they were feeling off, or they were having this issue going on or that issue going on, because then people would judge them and say, well, you're not enlightened, or you're not awake because you wouldn't have those symptoms. Well,
good for you.
And it was very frustrating for me because I was having all these symptoms. And now we're creating a support group planetarily where people can actually share what they're feeling and not get judged by it and know that this is just part of the process. And the reason why these symptoms are happening now is because in past shifts of ages, we didn't take our body with us. We only took our soul or our spirit and our consciousness, and then we would drop the body away. This time we're taking our body, and our body is going, what? You want me to do what? So the DNA and all the memory in our body is arguing with the fact that we're trying to take our body. And we're having to get past all those programs, and thus causes all kinds of weird, wobbly things.
Boy, today I woke up with something. I mean, this is new for me, but I feel like almost vertigo, like really lightheaded, spacey. And I did start thinking, well, maybe I need some iron. Maybe I need, but I'm so glad that you mentioned that. Because every one of those symptoms, too, I've had. By the way.
Yeah, and we're finding out that diet or anything that you might want to try to work on the outside isn't working all that well. This is something that goes beyond our biology, and of course you want to grab the iron supplements, but that weird vertigo kind of out of body feeling is just parts of us coming back in, and we're adapting and reintegrating those parts.
Wow, I'm so glad you shared that. That's really, really great information. And I really appreciate that, Aluna. I've found that what I'm doing, too, is I'm being much more honest about not just my symptoms, but my bad habits, if you will. And, it just it allows everybody to just, it's okay. You know, like you said, hey, you've done, we don't need to meditate anymore. I mean, we can if we want. We don't need to fix ourselves. We're good to go. We have arrived, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you were talking about that.
Absolutely. Absolutely. This is what one of the messages the Star Elders gave us over the May 20th eclipse while we were on Mount Shasta was just stand up and breathe. There's nothing left to do. And it just keep on keeping on.
Great. Keep on keeping on. So let's talk about these some of the sacred sites that you've been to, and just can you give us a little information about them and why you go there and what happens when you go there?
Oh, I go to sacred sites because I'm a junkie. I went to my first one in the 80s, and it completely changed my life. I mean, it literally 180 degrees. And I realize sacred sites have energy in them that helps us evolve and awaken. And I also know that the sacred sites in the all over the planet, you could have a sacred site in your backyard. It doesn't mean you have to have a big, giant, fancy, ancient pyramid site to call it a sacred site. We find sacred places everywhere. But these places, they're little cross places where the energy lines cross across the planet. And I think the new energy that's coming in hits those places first. And I think this is why they hit them first, and then a week or two later, your friends down the road a ways will start talking about the same thing, and it kind of spreads over across the planet. And this is why spiritual people are so attracted to places like Mount Shasta, Sedona, Glastonbury, Machu Picchu, in Peru, Palenque in Mexico. People are attracted to those places because we're searching for that thing that's missing, and we're trying to wake ourselves up. And we feel really, really drawn to these places because they give us sort of an inoculation, kind of like a homeopathic inoculation to what's coming next. And then when we go back out in the world, we can help the rest of the world adapt to that energy. So people that are sacred side junkies, they're way showers. They pick up energy. It changes their life. They may or may not be completely aware of what changes. But when they go out into the world, they become a service in a way that helps people adapt to the energy as it hits the rest of the planet. And I noticed that now that it's hitting sacred sites, it's spreading across the planet much, much quicker than it was a few years ago.
Wow. Cool.
And the interesting thing is the Star Elders at the end of last year said I had to go back to all the sacred sites I'd been to in the last 30 years. And I looked at them and said, you've got to be kidding. And we're actually going to do it in 1 year. And the reason why they wanted us to do that, and many of the people that go with us are people that have traveled with us over and over and over again, is the fact that the energy has rebooted now on the planet. There's a new frequency, there's a new program, and it's important to go back to the sites and pick that up. So we go, and we feel, and we pay attention, and we try not to assume we're going to feel the same thing we felt there before, and be open to the new and unexpected. And we are going to manage to get to every single sacred site in 1 year period.
How many sacred sites are there on the planet? Do you know?
Oh, nobody knows. Oh. And like I said, you could have one in your backyard.
Yeah, like I was talking to you about earlier, the speech.
Exactly.
And when you were talking about they have lines that the energy hits first, I was maybe that's why I'm so spaced out, because I went to this particular beach that's so hidden around here. Very few people know about it. It's one of the most beautiful and powerful places. It's amazing. But it does have these lines in the rocks that are formed. I think maybe I got a big hit of it the other day. That's why I'm feeling so darn lightheaded. How
well, there was also a pretty good solar flare the other day, too.
Oh,
yesterday.
Wow.
Yeah.
So what do you think, or what have you been told, or information have you been given that that you can share with us that we might expect in for the rest of this, the 6 months or so left in 2012?
Wow. Well, there's 9 very powerful days or powerful events happening this year, most of which quite a few we've gone through, the equinox, the May 20th solar eclipse, the Venus transit on June 6th. Then there's the solstice on June 20th, which is the flipping point where the buddies say that critical mass will have been hit for the new programming, and that's just a couple weeks away. November 13th, there's another total solar eclipse. It kind of mirrors the opposite of the May 20th. It's also helping balance the duality. November 19th,
November
13th? The 13th of November, yeah.
Okay.
A total solar eclipse. We won't see it in our part of the world. You'd have to be the northern tip of Australia and New Zealand will see it. November 19th, there's a Pleiades alignment. December 12th is a Maya date. It's the rebooting of the Maya calendar on what they call 8 bots. And our friends in Guatemala will be doing their huge 8 bots ceremonies that helps restart the calendar. And then, of course, the last day is December 21st is the solstice. So they're each one of those dates sort of like a grok up on a stepladder up. And each one offers different things to us, and probably along with it, a lot of interesting symptoms. We just have to take it as it comes and not take it personally and get support from other people so you know you're not going crazy. Because some of this energy makes you feel like you're going to go crazy, and you're not. You're not going crazy, you're just waking up.
Hey, that's a great title of a book. You're not going crazy, you're just waking up.
I
love
think someone
that.
Used that. I think it's already been done, but and you don't need to read the book because everything's in the title. But it's going to be an interesting ride. I don't think anybody really understands what will happen. A lot of us that are seers are guessing, and what might transpire, but we really don't know for sure because we're entering brand new territory. The Star Elders don't know. The Ascended Masters don't know. They all come from this grand age of 104,000-year cycle, so they don't know either, and this has never been done before. One of the things they're adamant about, though, is that we're victorious, that we make it this time, and there's no failure like at the fall of Atlantis, where a lot of our old wounds come from, when we failed there, and we took it as a failure, and the buddies or the Star Elders say it was just a dress rehearsal. So this time we're going to do it. So our bodies are we have to take care of ourselves. We have to take care of ourselves, take downtime when we need it, eat good, do what you can. But even people living the perfect lifestyle, stress-free, perfect diet are still dealing with symptoms. So don't get down on yourself and feel like you aren't doing enough or you're not doing it right, because everybody is in the same boat. And the more we become more unified in the collective, which is the healing of the duality, the light and dark, the us and them mentality, the more we'll be affected by everybody on the entire planet. So the other thing you have to realize is a lot of what's going on with you has nothing to do with you at all. You're helping process energy that's part of the collective that we're part of. It's always good to pay attention to make sure you don't have a personal issue that you need to deal with, but at the same time, try not to take what's going on with you personally and find avenues of support where people are okay with you being real and honest and authentic and saying, hey, this is what's going on with me today. I mean, this is invaluable to have support system right now.
So what are some of the things that we can do to ease some of the physical symptoms during this shift?
Well, like I said before, there's,
listen to your body,
getting downtime.
Yeah,
be good to your body, downtime. Flower essences help a lot. I make sacred site essences. They help because they kind of help get your body up to speed on what's going on. Homeopathics, getting body work, massage, getting into some water, particularly seawater. If you're a long ways from a beach, you can take a Himalayan salt bath or Celtic sea salt bath in your tub at home. Talk. Find other people that are going through the same thing so you can quit the worrying. And when you go through a lot of symptoms, it really can hurt your self-esteem. So people with chronic pain understand this. So if you understand that everybody's feeling this, it kind of takes it out of the realm of being personal or you're not doing something right and putting it in a place where you realize we're all doing this together. And there's nobody on this planet that's higher and lower than you. And we're all teachers and we're all students.
I love it.
Mm-hmm.
I love it. I love that you're giving us this information. This is so great. By the way, let's give people how they can contact you, Aluna Joy. Maybe get some of those essences if they'd like. AlunaJoy.com is one of your websites.
Mm-hmm.
Is that your? And then you also have Facebook, Ascension mm-hmm. Symptoms Support Group. Facebook Ascension Symptoms Support Group. What a great idea!
Mm-hmm.
And Aluna Joy.
Yeah, it's all linked. It's all linked on my website as well.
Great. AlunaJoy.com, AlunaJoy.com.
Mm-hmm.
I want to get some of those essences. I think I'm going to order some because that sounds like a great, great idea.
Mm-hmm.
How is there any – I'm just curious. How can we connect with any guides or angels, or can we, or do you have any thoughts about that? I know it's always been there for you, but what about
I think everybody's connected. It's just that you haven't learned how to tune the radio frequency to hear them. Sometimes you're so close to your guides or your guardians or angels that you're so close to the forest you can't see the trees kind of thing. I don't think anybody on this planet is not connected. I think everyone is. If I am, then everybody is. It's what the Star Elders teach. We all are. One of the ways you can break through and actually tell the difference between what's you and what's them is ask for that every morning. Just make it your mantra throughout the day. You might want to say something like, I want to know what's me and what's not me. I want to know where the line is between me and the other things I'm feeling in the world. You know, that's one way you could have that be your mantra throughout the day, because the problem is we're so connected to our guides that they become one with us. And then we're still in a world of duality where we need to have a difference of energy to be able to understand that they're there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make sense. That's interesting.
Yeah.
I was doing a little bit of body work on my niece who was here this weekend, and I just was holding her, touching some points on her head, and information just started coming out of my mouth. And she was asking me, well, what do you see? And it wasn't even, mm-hmm. you know, what I saw. And I think I really got a sense of that what was coming out of me is what was being given to me to say to her. It wasn't anything mm-hmm. I was thinking up. So that was being probably very connected without realizing it.
I think so. And another little trick you can do is sit down and start having a conversation, you know, like you would talk to a friend. You know, you can do this with a tree, you can do this with the sun, you can do this with the earth, you can do it with your guides. Just know that they're there, because they are. If you're alive and you're in a body, they're there. Start having a conversation and saying, well, I know I can't hear you, but here I am. And I'm feeling this today and that today, and I'd sure like to be able to hear you. And talk to them like they're right in front of you. And keep going. It's kind of a trick. And at first, you're going to feel like a fraud and a fake for doing this. And then eventually, what it does is you are actually telling the universe that you want to have a conversation with your guides, guardians, or angels. And once you tell the universe by acting as if it's already happening, you open that bridge between yourself and the guides, and then they have an avenue of which they can reach you. Does that make sense?
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, because as long as you say, I don't hear them, the universe will give you what you're asking for. And if you say, I can't hear them, you're going to continue to get that. Mm-hmm. So you just have a conversation. You know, you don't do this when other people are around, so they don't put you in a straitjacket somewhere, you know.
Yeah.
And, no one's looking. And, you know, it's better. I find it works best when you're out in nature and away from any kind of electromagnetic field. Here in Sedona, we can get way back in canyons where you don't even have cell phone reception, which is awesome. Because you can get kind of unplugged a little bit. You might even, down at your little private little magic beach, you might be off the grid. Who knows? And have conversations and let the universe know that you are in this moment connected to your guides, guardians, and angels.
Wow. The times that I really see that it works is if I'm just having the worst ever time in my life, and when I make a demand and say, just scream at them. Like scream at God, like, you need to show mm-hmm. me what to do now. This is not working. And boom, I get almost instantaneous. I get the message I need. All right, something mm-hmm. changed. I remember Carolyn Mace used to say that's how she talked to God. And I do, and it really does. It's a great job. So Aluna, it's just so great to have you on. You have so much wonderful information. So if people want to go on one of your wonderful adventures, they can contact you at alunajoy.com. What do you have coming up? You have something in December, right? I think you said.
Yeah, that trip's been booked up for 2 years.
Wow.
I'm sorry to say. Yeah, as soon as I put
popular.
The word out, it was gone. Well, and we keep our groups small. They're kind of big for some people, but they're small compared to how some other groups go.
And where are you going?
We're going to my four favorite places because I call them the four crowns of the Maya world, which is Palenque, and then we cross the border into Guatemala and go to Tikal, and then down the Guatemalan-Honduran border to a site called Quiriqua, which is rumored by even the Mayas and past life memory of my own, where the last of the Star Elders left about 800 years ago in physical, when they were still here in physical form. And then we go across the border into Honduras and go to Copan, which I think is probably the most potent of all of them. And it, we're doing it in a progression of energy. So we start with Palenque because it anchors the heart, and Tikal re-anchors the mind, and Quirigua puts in that the ethereal, that magic, that ether that you need. And then Copan is just the blazing energy of the sun. It's just quite potent there.
So, so do you have any information about something like, you know, about the pyramids, or really, like, all I know is that they said man could not have made them, you know? I mean, did the Star Elders build them? Do you know what they're there for?
Yeah, well, some are obviously, we could not build with whatever we have, technology we have today, they're still unbuildable, like the ones in Peru. The Maya world, they're more, you could see how you could actually rebuild. In fact, they reconstruct them all the time. But what the Star Elders did was they would pick places that were on the planet that were part of those grids, the cross points where grids connected, and they knew that that was a potent place. And it wouldn't matter where it was on the earth. And if you look, some of these sacred sites are built in really extremely inaccessible places, like in deep in the thick of a jungle or on top of a mountainside somewhere. And they would build and stay there to learn about the earth and how it was evolving. And they liked it that it was in remote places because they really didn't want to be discovered by humanity that was evolving along with the earth at the time. But some places, obviously, you could not build today, and others, you could see that you could, but every single one of them is put on one of these lines. So the Star Elders, this is the funny thing, is they knew that if they built temples that would endure the shift of ages, and the only thing that will really get through anything through a shift of an age is things that are made out of natural, that are natural to Earth. So stone, pottery, bone, wood, these are all things that will survive a shift of an age. So they built all these temples in stone, and they knew that we would come to this age of technology where we could get on a jet plane and go anywhere at any time. And so they wanted us to be attracted to these places because they knew that it would help us wake up. Well, of course, we're curious, and they're enigmas. We can't understand them. So we go and sit there and wonder, and when we're in a state of wonder, we're like a little child, and the information comes in and the energy comes in. So not only did it help them understand the earth by being there while they were living in those sacred sites, but it also attracts us back to those places so we can remember what we've forgotten.
Wow. So when you talk about, because I always talk here, the word grids, you know, and I mean, I hang out with spiritual people all the time. I went swimming with the whales in Tonga last September. I thought I was going swimming with whales. I didn't realize I was on a mission to help heal the planet with the whales. I mean, it was amazing what I went through, and just being, what we all did, just to be in the presence. And, oh, my gosh, I was just crying like a baby. But what is there a way you can kind of explain what a grid is?
They're energy lines. There's a lot of information out on the internet about grids, but they're always changing. So anything that's written could be right or wrong in any one moment, because we notice that they wobble and they change. Maybe because the earth wobbles. Some sacred sites will feel really potent one year, next year they won't. And this is why we keep going back to some of the same sacred sites year after year after year, so we can pay attention to how things are evolving and changing, because we can compare to what it felt like before. The grids are also getting more complex. They used to be really simple. There would only be certain areas that were places where the energy would hit the earth first, and now there's so many that I doubt we could ever map it. This is why it's the energy spreading across the planet much quicker than it used to. Yeah.
So what is a portal? Because portal is a big word. Everybody uses that.
Yeah. Well, I guess the cross points of these places could be considered a portal. Some Maya sites do have portals in them. They help with interdimensional travel. They were used for that in the past. I don't think anybody's using them that way right now, although I don't doubt that that will happen again. Portals, again, it's a math word with a zillion definitions. On May 20th, over when we were up in Mount Shasta, the Star Elders reminded me of a vision I had probably 20 years ago when I was up on the mountain in the middle of the night in the dead of winter, and I saw the portals over the mountain. And when I looked at them, I couldn't see through them. They were shut. And over the eclipse on May 20th, they said the portals had been opened. And this means that the interaction between our soul family, brothers and sisters, and other star systems, of which we all originated from, by the way, because humans are not natural to Earth. We were all extraterrestrial at one point when we go back far enough. But anyway, these doorways have reopened. And interestingly enough, the last crop circle that just showed up in England looked like three descending angels onto the planet.
So, well, let's talk about these crop circles, because I tell you, it's so interesting because I have a crop circle book, and it boggles my brain to even know what they are. And I'm staring at a beautiful painting, which is a Sacred Geometry by Ivan Radosh. And I don't even know why I have it. What is the deal with Sacred Geometry and the crop circles? Are they trying to communicate with us? Is that what that is about?
I think so. And I don't think it's something we'll understand with our mind. I think it's something we'll feel with our hearts. This is how we approach the sacred sites as well. Don't expect to get mental information. It's something we're programmed to learn to do in this world, especially since, you know, in this century, we have been really pushed into our brains and out of our hearts. And these things are universal, so it has nothing to do with language. Or they're universal in a way that it doesn't matter what educational level you actually have. It's something to be felt. It's something that we need to feel with our hearts and not think about. So when we're in sacred sites, the same thing. We walk in, we pay attention. I pay attention to how my body's reacting. Is the pain coming or going? Am I dizzy or not dizzy? Am I clear-headed or not? What's changing in me? How does it sound? How does it feel? You kind of pay attention to everything like you're in a big pot of soup, but you're one piece of carrot in that soup. You get what I'm saying? You're kind of connected to it.
Yeah, I like
all
that.
It's a big energetic pot of soup. I think the crop circles are the same thing. I think they're there for everyone. And we all like to define what we think it is. Like for me, the most recent one looked like three ascending angels. Other people say they look like all-seeing eyes. I mean, there's a lot of different varying things. I think we see what we need to see and get from it what we need to get. And everybody's a different piece of the puzzle, so we're never going to get the same thing exactly the same way. Because when we add all of our consciousness up together in the collective field, we have the whole picture. So we're all going to get different pieces, and it's important to acknowledge and recognize all those different pieces.
And so speaking of different pieces of the puzzle, which I like to say to our listeners, that we all are a piece to the puzzle, that everyone that's listening right now, people that are on this spiritual path, people that are seekers, people that listen to this, the World Pooja Network and these radio shows, how important you are. And as Aluna Joy said, nobody is more important than anybody else. Nobody's better. You know, it's like we all have a little piece to do. Aluna is taking people on these trips right now on these adventures to sacred sites and explaining to us about this, which is just valuable information. I'm bringing people like Aluna to explain these things to you. And you are doing whatever it is you're doing, you know, whether it's smiling at somebody in the supermarket or enjoying an experience in a beautiful flower. So that really needs to be said. And it's really kind of a celebration and a really waking up and getting out of our heads and getting out of that logical mind and really being in joy, being who you are. Like there's nothing to, you know, what if there's nothing to get, nowhere to go? What if it's here right now? Right, Aluna?
Exactly.
So what else do you want our listeners, what other information is important or, you know, valuable to hear right now? Do the buddies have anything they want to share with us?
Well, as soon as you said that, they started working. For all those that are listening, they, with your permission, they would like to funnel in a huge amount of light into the crown chakra and have it go through all your chakra systems, all the way down through the bottom of your feet to the core of the earth.
Absolutely.
It looks like, yeah, they tend to follow me around and do these kind of things anyway. But always, always, they do this with only your permission to do so. They want you to remember to keep standing. In other words, staying alive. You know, the Bee Gees, I think? Staying Alive, the song.
Staying alive, staying alive.
Exactly.
Yeah.
They hum that one to me a lot. because they're, like you said, there's nothing left to do except just breathe and be and do what's called, what you're called to do in each moment. And remember that your pieces might, your piece is going to look a little different than in somebody else's next to you. And don't put anybody on a pedestal. Your teachers and, you know, people on this radio station or the people who have written the books you're reading, we're all in the same boat. And take what works for you, toss the rest, follow your heart. That's probably the most important thing of all, is to listen to your inner truth and follow that impeccably. We're not going to do it perfect right away, but we are getting there. If you've noticed, we're finding out if we don't follow our heart right now, the repercussions are coming much swifter and quicker because we didn't follow the inner calling. And this is the universe training us to follow that heart. And all our hearts are going to tell us something a little different, but when we all do it together, we make that whole picture, that collective picture. And we can't be a carbon copy or pretend to be somebody else or what they're doing. You've got to do what feels right to you. Also, the other thing is they want to send love and appreciation. The Starlers would like to send love and appreciation to all the people that hold down jobs that those of us that are probably listening wouldn't be able to do because it would be too heavy or dense or hard. I appreciate my postman for delivering my mail, the garbage man for taking out my trash, the farmers for growing my food. We have a tendency in spiritual circles to judge people that aren't on a path like ours, and yet without all those people, we could not be doing the path we're on. So they're always sending love and blessings to all those people that took on a job that's so hard, and they purposely chose a life where they had to shut themselves down to be able to tolerate to do the job that they're doing. So when it comes time for the rest of us to wake up, we need to be there for them. Instead of judging them for not being on a path or not hearing what we had to say for the last 20 years, you know, because a lot of people haven't. It's becoming more normal now, but to show up and help where you can. And this means when it happens naturally also, and this is where following your heart actually falls into place perfectly. If you follow your heart in each moment, you will be called to do the right thing at the right time. It's not to go out and push or prod or enforce what you know on other people. It's letting it happen naturally and let it unfold like a flow out in front of you. If you see someone that needs help and you're feeling called to help them, you help them. You know, it's simple as that. We're all here to help and support each other. Our spirits don't need that. Our spirits are perfect and divine and all's in divine order there. But our human side is still learning to catch up. So
wow.
We need lots and lots of support for the physical side of our reality so we can take the physical form into the next consciousness.
Wow.
Or the next bandwidth or the next frequency. And we're doing it. We're actually doing it. The other thing that would be helpful as far as supporting globally is we have been doing a thing called the solar wave, and we've been doing this since 1995 on equinoxes, and the last couple years the Star Elder said you have to do solstices and other important dates as well, and all that's linked on my website as well. It's just a bit of information on how you can create and have groups on your own based on a global wave of energy based on the rising and setting of the sun. And
awesome. So go ahead and, you know, you don't have to be invited to anybody else's. You can have your own.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Start your own group. Have five or six people. Fill up a stadium. It doesn't matter. Do what you have the ability to do in your area and get as many people going on sending love and blessings and hold the vision of paradise in your consciousness and act as if paradise is already here and hold those on peak days. Like June 20th is the next one coming up. It's solstice. We'll be in Glastonbury for that day. The next would be September 22nd is the equinox, November 13th, the solar eclipse, November 19th, the Pleiades alignment with the center of the galaxy, December 12th, and December 21st. And all these are listed on my website, alunajoy.com, and halfway down the page you'll see the information about the solar wave. You click there, and it'll tell you how the solar wave works and why, and how we're actually using the path of the sun across the planet to create a wave of love that nobody can avoid.
Yay! You know, I tell you, Aluno, I watched the news about a week ago, you know, lately. I don't usually watch it much, but, you know, when they're showing that they're killing children in Syria and
mm-hmm.
just the viciousness of war and... there's a point where I just like, I lost it. You know, you just cry, you weep, but it's like, I think instead of buying into the horror of it all is exactly what Aluna is Joy is saying, you know, create that solar wave. This is what's going to end war, is you waking up to who you are, you spreading love as much as you can, getting that support that she's talking about. And that's what I really see, Aluna, is this coming together that is something we haven't done. We've been so isolated for so long, had these isolated lives. And it's so interesting because before I went up to Mount Shasta, you know, a couple people mentioned Mount Shasta. I'm like, oh, it's great. No, there's no way I'm going to go. No, I can't go. You know, that sounds fine. But no, you know, I'm far too busy. I can't do that. And then I took a look at the site. I opened up the email and it was like, boom, I have to go. I don't know why, but I have to go. And I, you know, that is a big, huge trip and it took a lot of time and some money and it, you know, and it's so interesting because the people that showed up there were from all over the world. And I said, how come you're here? And they go, I don't know. I was just told, you know, like they didn't even know who the people were there or they just, you know, it's like, you know what you know. So like, as Aluna Joy said, listen to your knowing and, you know, it was you all along. It really was. And it's like we now get to see that, you know, we chose to come here. We're here to create this heaven on earth, and we're the ones that are doing it. And we're not going to get killed this time for trying to do it. This time we get to
Hallelujah.
Do it. Hallelujah, mama. Woohoo!
Yeah, you know, and it's our job to break the boundaries of the mechanicities of the way this world's always worked and give people an opportunity to do something different. So it's up to us to create that new thing. Even Jeshua says, you know, what I've done you can do also in greater things. And all the masters and all the angelic realms and the star elders are all sitting around twiddling their thumbs waiting for us to create those greater things are the new options for people to choose instead of the constant cycle of war and hatred and duality. And we're creating with our hearts a different world in which we can invite them into.
And that would be you and I, my friends. You
and everybody listening.
Yep. And it really is. It's also about collaborating. It's not about I, me, mine. It's not about I'm loving there's going to be a whole new way of business. It's, instead of my business, I am looking at, you know, connecting with a couple of other powerhouse women. Let's do this together. What can I do for you? What can you do for me? You know, it is really about opening our arms. It's about ending judging. Stop judging yourself. Stop judging everybody else. It's time to end our suffering and struggling and pain, right?
Exactly.
Yeah. It's what we've always known, but we may not have known that we've known. Aluna Joy, you're awesome. You're doing terrific work on the planet. Thank you for this.
How are you?
Thank you, dear. Valuable information. These great dates to look at. AlunaJoy.com. And any parting words for our listeners? On by.
Stay in the heart and breathe in and breathe out each day and do what you're called to do and join together. It's so important that we support each other in our authenticity of who we are, not what we're pretending to be, but the totality of what we're going through. We need to support each other in that.
Well, fantastic. And thank you so much, Sistar.
Thank you. Thank you
Alrighty.
So much. Everybody have a wonderful day.
Thank you, dear. Sending you all infinite love and appreciation. Until next time, thank you for you.